Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. It's my boss, Ryan Finley. I am in Seoul, South Korea, where the Padres and Dodgers begin the season, the regular season, like two games that count tomorrow. I'm trying to get this straight. I will probably just get the whole time difference and all that right as about to leave. But so as we tape this here, it is 5 o'clock in San Diego on Tuesday. It is 9 a.m. Wednesday.
Monday.
It is 9 a.m. Tuesday in Korea. So the only way that I'm ahead of you, Ryan, the only way I'm ever ahead of anyone, I got to go around the world to be quicker than anybody else. I'm in Seoul. It is Tuesday. I've decided to not even care what day it is. The games will be at 3 a.m. Here's what's important to Padres fans, or most Padres fans. There's Padres fans all over the world, but in San Diego, 3 a.m. Wednesday and 3 a.m. Thursday. At our season opening, season preview sort of episode, Ryan, where would you like to start?
Well, I want to know all about Korea, South Korea, but let's wait until the very end. That will be, I want to hear Kevin Acey in South Korea talk, because that to me is the most fascinating thing. But our listeners and viewers probably want to talk about Dylan Cease. Padres made a trade right before they got on a plane to South Korea, acquired Dylan Cease from the White Sox for a handful of minor leaguers plus Steven Wilson. Kevin, this was a name that's been thrown around a lot the last couple weeks. Were you surprised that they got him, and what'd you think of what they had to give up?
In the end, not surprised. And then if I had gone back to sort of the beginning of the spring, I wouldn't be surprised. Mildly surprised in that they have expressed, and I think it's absolutely legitimate, and if you think about it, you know, both can be true, that they've expressed such confidence in the depth and in the quality of their young pitching. You know, that can be true, but it's very different than we feel really good about our rotation and our ability to get through the season and to compete for a championship. Those are two different things, right? Same thing with like the competition for outfield spot or utility spot. It's been a really good competition. That's different than saying those guys are going to make an impact for a contending team in the major leagues. But anyway, Dylan Cease changes the outlook because, you know what? If the guy has, look, last season was a bad season for him by his standard. If he does that, guy still filled 180 innings, right? So if he goes back to 2022, the Padres got an ace. And you could argue that they have three borderline ace caliber starters. And that is the stuff that contending teams, playoff teams, championship teams are made of. They didn't have that before. They had to have Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove go 180 plus innings. They had to have Michael King step up and be 150, 180 and also be, you know, effective. They had to have Brito or Vasquez step up. The idea of filling the 850 or so innings that a quality rotation does, just you didn't know where it was going to come from.
Right. This reminds me, Kevin, so much of the Mike Clevenger deal from a couple years ago. And, you know, obviously the Clevenger thing was a disaster almost right away. Right. He injured his elbow. But you trade for a guy who's a durable big league pitcher who can take the strain off of everybody else. You know, even if Dylan Cease is a, say, 500 pitcher with a 4 ERA, he slots into this rotation where all of a sudden you're not asking Michael King to put up those sorts of innings. You're not asking one of the guys, Johnny Brito to be a rotation guy. Now you're really only patching one rotation spot, and that's your number five. And that's probably going to be Matt Waldron, it looks like, right?
And every team does that, basically, right?
Right. And you can sort of patch that together. And yeah, now you have a real rotation. This is a real rotation now. You're not asking anybody to do a Herculean thing to contend.
Yeah, and the answer to your question is yes. If this was a competition, then Matt Waldron won it. Just a fantastic spring. Now, as we've talked about, or at least I've written about, whoever's the fifth starter, you know, the guy's not going to make 30 starts probably. So there's going to be a bunch of starts coming from other guys. You brought up two like things. The Clevenger one, I really liked that. That could have gone a different way. I mean, he ended up getting injured, but it was to bring in a quality guy to help at the time. You know, Dinelson Lamet he was having a Cy Young season. Danelson Lamet got hurt, Mike Clevenger got hurt, that just turned into a spiral, as you mentioned. But it's that intention of, hey, we're contending for a championship. And the worst case, well, the worst case is Mike Clevenger, but but you brought up that he could have a 4-something ERA and that, okay, he still serves a purpose. I don't know, the guy I've seen on TV, the guy that I have that I saw. Now, these were guys in the KBO, but the awkward swings, the stuff that Dylan Cease had in his two innings yesterday, as we tape this here, against the LG Twins, that's some pretty nasty stuff. This guy has potential to really help them.
Right. I watched every pitch of that exhibition too on Padres.tv last night, and that's what I came away with. I came away with the fact that Dylan Cease, I mean, with the exception of one mistake that he made led to a home run, was pretty darn sharp. And, these were guys who was able to, the Twins were able to cuff around Woosuck Go at the end. I mean, this was not a team of slackers. There were some former major leaguers on there. I came away very impressed with Dylan Cease. And they interviewed him mid-game, Kevin, and I know that you've spoken to him a little bit. Seems like a little bit of a character, too, somebody with a sense of humor. Who might be a little fun to cover too.
Yeah. And, it honestly does not matter, but, it kind of does. It can matter. Mm-hmm. Dylan Cease was waiting for the writers after the game and, mm-hmm. Wanted to make sure that we had what we needed and that's a pro and it's not always the case. Now it is the case with Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish and Michael King, but, it's not always the case. I look forward to it.
What about the price that they gave up? I mean, obviously Yairo Iriarte is somebody who internally they really liked. There was also, the reliever or I'm sorry, the starting pitcher who they got from the Yankees, who was probably going to open Drew Thorpe, who's going to open the season in AAA. Steven Wilson and then Samuel Zavala. Is that about the price of poker in the year 2024? Is that more or less than you thought they'd have to give up?
I feel very strongly that this is the price that a contending team pays. I'll say that just like I do about the Clevenger trade. I applauded it at the time and I applaud it now. It didn't work out. It was bad. This is the price that a contending team pays to get somebody that can help you contend. And that's what it is. And they are dealing from a position of strength right now. These were there and whatever these rankings mean, what they do is they give you an idea. They kept their top two pitching prospects and they kept their fifth and sixth pitching prospects. They gave their third and fourth to the White Sox. Mm-hmm. You know what? Trades with the White Sox have gone well for the Padres.
I think the last player for the Padres to acquire from the White Sox in a trade was Fernando Tatis. Fernando Tatis, upon arriving with the Padres, chose number 84 before changing it to 23. Dylan Cease wears number 84. I find that fascinating. Kevin, there's another big hole still. It's outfielder, DH, however we want to classify this one more hitter in the lineup. I know there's been a little buzz the last week or so with regards to the Padres and Tommy Pham. Are they closer on that? Is this something that you think may happen? What's the latest there?
It's been longer than that, but it's heating up because the season is getting closer. Tommy Pham wants to go play somewhere. The Padres are interested for sure. AJ Preller loves him. Players really like him. He showed in the postseason that he can still play. The guy hits the ball hard. He puts the ball in play. He gets on base. He's intense as heck. I think like it's this, like they want him. They know he can help. They want to believe they're good enough and leave some room to maneuver at the trade deadline or before the trade deadline. And I honestly think they kind of go back and forth and we're getting close. The important thing is we're getting close to where the price probably works for them. And so look, I've thought when I got on a plane, I thought, Tommy Pham probably is waiting for the Padres when they get back. It's definitely a possibility. How's that? They think that Jurickson Profar can find his way into the middle of some rallies, play a decent left field. But do they think that he is 130 starts for them? They don't. And you mentioned designated hitter. Like, okay, you're going to rotate guys through when Manny Machado's playing third base. Yeah, it's a hole. It's a hole.
It's a hole. Kevin, what is a fair price, we think, for Tommy Pham, if you're the Padres?
$4 million.
$4 million.
Maybe less.
Okay. They can spend about what, 12 without going the CB without going over the CBT threshold?
I believe so, Ryan. It's something like 12 is what they have left under there, so that, you know, you can't spend quite that much. You've got the CBT takes into account everything. Benefits, you know, a one-year contract, obviously it's going to be the value of it. So I haven't quite done that math, because they're not going to, like, they're not going to bump up against the CBT. They're going to stay underneath it. And I think that, I mean, I really think that an outfielder wasn't signed because Dylan Cease or someone else was going to be acquired, and that money is cash, not just the CBT, but like money is an issue, and it's kind of a, on a per case basis. And if they had signed somebody else and brought in this money, he might not have got approval to get Dylan Cease. And when I say AJ Preller, like, it's a per case basis here. And so they wanted to make sure they got Dylan Cease first. They don't feel strongly enough that there was an outfielder out there that was that much better than what they had. So they waited. And look, I think it's real possibility that Tommy Pham's a Padre.
Sure. And also, I mean, this is smart by AJ Preller, I think. Getting a cost-controlled ace, co-ace, number three starter, whatever we want to call Dylan Cease, that is the real challenge. You can go grab a left fielder slash DH off the street here in a week, and you know maybe he can get you 80% of what Tommy Pham would get you during the course of the season.
I also want to point out, I think there's validity in what you said. I also want to point out that the way that the hot lava has gone since you've been on it is that something's mentioned, and then it happens or the opposite happens. So I just want to say that, and because we tape it ahead of time, especially when there's travel differences. So I want to say that by the time this airs, Tommy Pham guaranteed with the Padres based on the fact that we just talked about it.
Yes. Kevin, would you like to hold up a copy of today's Seoul newspaper so all of our people will see that this is what we're saying as of this time on this day? Speaking of outfielders, Jackson Merrill looks as if he's the Padres center fielder. And even if they go acquire a Tommy Pham, it still seems like Jackson Merrill is the Padres center fielder. What did he do to win them over in camp? And what have you seen from him, especially here lately?
He did everything that they could have asked and more, in that he performed on the field. He was, they talk about his energy. And I mean, he's just, he's a self-possessed young man. He's 20 years old. He'll be 21 in June, I believe it is. He just is very confident, but, and it's real, and it might appear to you to border on arrogance, but it's real. I think that he's been through some things in the minors. I think it was because to do with the way that he was raised by two educators that, I mean, there's just a certain amount of adultification that Merrill has, and he is confident enough, while being himself and being very respectful of a rookie's place in a major league clubhouse, to also be like this guy that brings like a personality and an energy to the team, and the veterans have noticed it and they appreciate it. Now he also just like, he's fast, he's athletic. He plays the outfield like kind of he was born to do it. Now I'm not calling him a gold glover. I'm not saying that there haven't been a couple hesitant things, but okay. I mean, he is an excellent player. Now, I caution again. He's 20 years old. He's a rookie. And this is what the Padres say. And this is why you see him batting ninth, right? Like, he's one of two lefties in the lineup as of right now. And if Eggie Rosario is starting tomorrow at third base, then he's one of, you know, Jackson Merrill and Jake Cronenworth. They are very conscious of not putting too much pressure on this kid.
Right. And Profar would count there, too. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got a switch hitter in Jurickson Profar. Jurickson, again, I'm a big Jurickson guy. Jurickson is going to, I think the best way to put it is like he finds himself in some things by drawing a walk, by getting a 10 or 12 pitch out, by putting a ball in play. But, you know, Jurickson might be a 220 hitter, you know?
Well,
so I forgot it. My bad.
I mean, Jurickson's coming off the thing about Profar, too. Is, you know, he played great with the Padres at the end last year, but he was coming off a season in Colorado that was so bad that they paid him to stop playing for them. Like, to expect him, I mean, if he just reverts to who he was as a Padre, that's a good signing, and he can play left field most days. If he is who he was as a Rocky last year, we got bigger problems, right?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, it's in somewhere in between there. And look, he'll bat seventh or something like that, because I think that the top five is set. We've seen it the last six games that they played together. You know, and I think probably Camposano sixth, and unless they do want to have Jurickson up because of the switch hitter, I don't know. But I think that he's batting seventh, you know, probably.
Interesting. You mentioned that lineup. Is this about where you thought everybody would slot in? Any surprises to you in
terms of what, I didn't really know. So I guess lack of surprise would be that I didn't really know and no one really did, right? You got a new manager. There's a lot of things talked about. You know, maybe Xander Bogaerts, they liked him hitting second. Okay. No. So I didn't expect this, though. All of these guys have hit in these spots before. Xander Bogaerts first, Fernando Tatis second, Jake Cronenworth third, Manny Machado cleanup, and Ha-Sung Kim fifth. Now, I do think there's a decent chance that against lefties, and if Ha-Sung Kim is hitting like he has, that Ha-Sung Kim is leading off. I do think there's a decent chance that Tatis is leading off at times, or could end up being the leadoff hitter, and Bogaerts could slide in second. I think that Jake Cronenworth is batting third because he's a left-handed hitter and you want to break him up. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a big Jake Cronenworth guy. I don't know that he's a number three hitter. So, but he is on this team right now.
Yeah. You think more sort of bat to ball skills from a number three hitter, maybe a guy who sets the table a little bit more or drives in runs a little
could
bit
be,
more.
Hey, could be Jackson Merrill if Jackson Merrill does in the regular season what he did in the preseason, but that is a whole other animal. And so we'll wait and see on that.
Sure. Can you explain the roster situation to me and what they have to do between now and the time they play their first game here?
So they brought 31 players to South Korea. They have to get down to 26, you know, the regular season active roster. But three of the five players that they have to trim can be in like this nebulous. They're essentially on the practice squad. You don't have to make a transaction, option them, reassign them, place them on waivers, DFA. You don't have to do anything because that would be penalizing the Padres and the Dodgers, you know, who start 8 days earlier than everyone else. So just like all the other teams, the 28th, next Thursday, is when those things have to be made. Now, there are two transactions that need to be made, you know, because they just do. So two guys will need to be optioned or what have you. Now, let's say that it's Eggy Rosario. And so, that means that you're down to, and I think Eggy will be on the roster, but is it Graham Pauly or Tyler Wade? Well, one of them just be sent to the minors. Tyler Wade signed a minor league contract and Graham Pauly has not been in the major, so he can be optioned. So that's pretty straightforward. It's when you get to Pedro Avila, you get to, Eniel De Los Santos, if he's not going to make it. And those guys are out of options. Dylan Cease probably is one of the three because he won't be optioned because then he can't pitch for 15 days because you have to stay down once you're optioned. Matt Waldron probably doesn't get optioned because they probably have him pitch on the Sunday in San Diego against the Giants. And so, you know, he can't get options. So he's got to be. So now you've taken up two of the three spots for your starting pitchers. So is it Avila is the other one because they don't want to make a decision, or have they decided, hey, we're moving on from Pedro Avila? Guess we'll know that. It's 11 a.m. here on Wednesday is the deadline. So I think that's 7 p.m. Tuesday.
Gotcha. Kevin, I try not to draw too much from an exhibition game against a Korean League team, but Woo-Suk Go. Did not look great. He has not looked particularly great in camp. Nope. Is there a chance it would be a gutsy move to somehow send down a Korean baseball player while in Korea. But is he not guaranteed a roster spot? I'm trying to come up with a nice way to ask a very unkind question.
Yeah. Well, it's the big leagues, you know?
Yeah.
So we can ask the unkind questions. It's a big leagues and we're journalists, but I do appreciate that because I try to do the same. So, he has not been good. I believe that AJ Preller provided a hint the other day when talking about how, you know, the Korean spring training is longer. The Woo-Suk Go played for the LG Twins who won the championship. So he played longer last offseason, and that maybe his timing is not right for him to start the season with the Padres. He did, the last part, start the season with the Padres, AJ Preller didn't say, but he was talking about these factors and that maybe he needs a little more time. The caveat is that Usuk Go has to give his permission to be sent to the minors. But I just don't see him on this roster, because even though it's just two games, and even though it is Korea, you know, the Padres missed the playoffs by two games last year, and you are trying to win, and you don't know how long Darvish and Musgrove are going to go, your first starts of the year. And while you're going to essentially have an 11-man bullpen, you need every pitcher. And I just think it'd be a surprise at this point if Usuk Go is on the roster.
Nice. Can I ask you a question just because it came up in my house watching this game last night? Is Matt Waldron throwing the knuckleball more?
Yes. I'd say about 10% more. Okay. Yeah. And he will. And look, you noticed in spring, he was dropping it in there on 3-2 counts. He was dropping it in everywhere behind early, first pitch, but certainly, and I know this is about every pitcher, but when you got a guy who's throwing 90-91 and has the knuckleball, the fact that his fastball command, the fact that his fastball is being thrown for strikes makes that knuckleball, makes all other pitches. Like I said, it's such a generalization, but it is true for Matt Waldron that everything's working, and that just makes the knuckleball more dangerous.
Yeah. Matt Waldron, by the way, in that Mike Clevenger trade, was he not?
He was the throw-in, wasn't he? Or the player to be named later. No offense on the throw-in part, but he was. Hey, I'm a huge fan of these guys. Like, it's one thing to watch Max Scherzer in his prime. Yeah, it was a pleasure when I was covering the Angels and you went to the ballpark and Randy Johnson was pitching that day. But Matt Waldron coming up and having the spring he did and starting in the rotation, I love it. I can't wait until next Sunday to watch him pitch.
I get big R.A. Dickey vibes watching him. I mean, same kind of stuff, right? R.A. Dickey didn't throw a floating knuckleball till he was 50 like Charlie Huff did. R.A. Dickey was a pitcher who threw a knuckleball. And just watching some of that last night, I came away very, very impressed with it. Kevin, I always put you on the spot before we go. Tell me a story about South Korea. How's it going? What's it like?
You need to talk to Bryce Miller for stories, and people should check out his column after following Ha Sung Kim on, I think that was Saturday here. It was a fun column. There's some fun anecdotes in there. All I've done is work and eat, really. And that's just what I do. Now, I've walked around. I just haven't gone to the tourist spots. I've walked around. I'm fascinated by this city. It is a city, as many of you may know, that has a population almost that of Los Angeles. Now, Los Angeles is bigger than this country, though. Like in terms of spread out. Like, I mean, say Los Angeles. I don't know if I'm not even talking about Orange County. I'm talking Orange County line up to Antelope Valley, Santa Clarita. And I mean, we're talking about a Midwestern state. This is a smaller peninsula country that is just mid-rises. Seoul, and I guess all the other cities are too. Like, there's not suburbs per se. It's just incredible how many people are here, yet it doesn't seem crowded. And it's clean. And I'm telling you, haven't checked Yelp, haven't done anything. Just walk into a restaurant, guaranteed the food's going to be delicious.
Wow. Well, what's the exchange rate? Is it an inexpensive place to
75 eat? Cents or it's, well, 75,000 won to the dollar, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm getting a little discount.
Little discount. Do most people there speak English?
To some extent, and far better than I speak Korean. Like, far better, like infinitely. Like, you couldn't even measure how much better their English is than my Korean, because it's non-existent. I can't even get thank you down so much. So a lot of bowing by me, a lot of bowing to let them know, really appreciative. I think it's great. It has been a great experience. And I want to say this. Some of the Padres were honest about, like this is kind of a pain in the butt, all right? They were looking forward to certain parts of it, you know, like seeing Ha Sung Kim here and how he was received and all that, the experience of going to Asia. But my understanding in talking to them and talking to others is they have really embraced this. They have enjoyed getting to know the culture. They have enjoyed the food. They have certainly enjoyed seeing the reception for Ha Sung Kim. They've enjoyed being together, kind of the, you know, proverbial bonding experience, I think. Now, this is my caveat to everyone, for myself and for more importantly to you guys, for the team. The trip back can be rough from Asia. And you know what? They get back on Thursday night before they left, actually, in terms of time, local time. They have Friday off. Saturday is celebration of life for Peter Seidler. Sunday is Fad Fest and a workout. Monday and Tuesday are exhibition games against the Mariners at Petco Park. So they're hitting the ground running, though maybe that's best for them because that's the best way to beat jet lag is just stay active and get right into it. So, but it will be interesting to see how this trip affects both teams.
Yes.
Or if it does.
Yeah. Kevin, I would think that for a team looking to maybe build a little bit of a culture and talk a little bit about, you know, being together and doing all of that stuff, whatever the opposite of sending a bunch of guys to the World Baseball Classic is, maybe it's a team trip to Korea where you're spending 32 hours on the plane together.
Yep. And in a hotel where, you know, you're the only people that speak the language, a little sightseeing the first couple days. With absolutely well put, and they didn't have to search for it this year. Right. Like they just thought, and I'm guilty as well, that they were good enough. And there's these three wild card spots, right? Like, I don't know that I thought they were going to win the division last year. And that I didn't, you know, certainly I would have if you told me what was going to happen to the Dodgers pitching rotation. But like, you know, everybody thought that the Padres are going to be good. And internally they did. And they thought, okay, yeah, this is bad with the WBC, whatever, all this. But look at us. We're so good. And this year, it's the opposite in all ways, where they know they got to earn it, where they have been concentrating on the little things, where they've been concentrating on coming together. They had this Korea trip. It's an excellent point. Don't know if it'll matter, Ryan, but it's an excellent point.
And this is our last podcast before the season starts, so I would like to shamelessly encourage all of our listeners to A, subscribe to the Union Tribune if you don't already. It is a
for like deal. 1 cent an article. No, it's like the Korean exchange rate. It's like 0.75 cents per Padres article. Not even talking about the great weather, the stuff about the pandas, education coverage, biotech coverage, just the Padres articles you will get in a season. It's like 0.75 cents per.
Right. It's there's so much good stuff in the UT every day. What a wonderful month between the start of the Padres season, San Diego State, and the NCAA tournament. There is no shortage. Kevin, the challenge of my job this time of year is finding enough room for all of our local stuff every day. And that's a great thing. Also,
with NCAAs, Bryce and I are here, two people in Korea. There's not another outlet that does that. And, you know, yeah, it's hard to beat. And that's just a fact, right? Like, I mean, it's what we should do, by the way, but all we hear these days is the death of journalism and all that. And I'll push back against that, like really hard when it comes to covering local sports, you know, especially the big two, Aztecs, Hoops and Padres, not in that order, Ziegler.
Also, whether you subscribe to the UT or not, subscribe to Kevin Acey's Padres Daily Newsletter. My favorite thing, back before I was doing this for a living, I started every day with Kevin Acey's Padres Daily Newsletter. I'm using your full name like you're not here, Kevin. It's really funny. Yes, it is free. Also, subscribe to the Hot Lava Podcast if you haven't or if you don't already. Again, all you got to do is tap the subscribe button, and you will make sure that every time we talk, which is at the beginning of every series, you will get that podcast sent directly to your phone.
You using my full name reminds me of it's the first time I talked about this like to anyone like in a setting like this. But so Peter Seidler used to use my full name a lot at the end of statements that he would make or whatever. And usually it was just the two of us or whatever. But like, you know, the big quote that has gotten so much play. And as a matter of fact, there's a picture of Peter over the Padres clubhouse entrance, players entrance in Peoria. And it has the quote on there that one day the gods of baseball gods will look down on San Diego and we will win a championship or something to that effect. Well, what's left out of that quote everywhere is, I think it ends with, we will have a parade, correct? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And so what's left out is, we will have a parade, Kevin Acey. No one ever uses the last two words of that quote, but, he used it so much that I had forgotten that, but I went back and on the day that he passed away, I was listening to parts of our interview that we did in Cincinnati last July. And I was just blown away when I heard that quote. I remembered, I laughed, and then I heard him say that. And so I think that's something too, that this will be our last podcast before the start of the season and Peter's celebration of life, which I will miss due to my travel schedule. But I do think that that's super important to the Padres as well, starting off the season that way.
Yeah, and I hope that for all the travel and everything that's going on, that that fans and people don't lose sight of the fact that Saturday is the celebration of life, and something that certainly, I know it's a change from the excitement of the season, but I think it's a significant sporting event in its own, on its own, in San Diego, and we will be there with a couple reporters and a photographer. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin, I don't know how you do it, but thank you for doing it. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.